Okay, so I'm going to begin from where I left off last week. The Parparois L'Chochma, commentary on Likutei Moran, which was written by one of the major students of Rabbi Nachman. Okay, he goes on to say that in paragraph 7 of this chapter, 61, Rabbi Nachman explains that everything we've been speaking about so far is related to why we travel to Tzaddikim for Rosh Hashanah. Now, Rabbi Nachman Zal pointed out that up until that point, this is approximately 3 years before Rabbi Nachman passed away, he did not make any mention at all as to whether he wants to publish his shiurim or not. Rather, it seemed more so that he preferred to keep them private, that he did not want his students to publicize his shiurim outside their circle. However, immediately after this Rosh Hashanah, when this shiur was given, Rabbi Nachman traveled to Lemberg, the city of Lemberg, where he went. One of the reasons was to seek possible medical advice and help for his wife, who was ill, and for himself. And Rabbi Nachman sent a message from Lemberg saying that he wants his shiurim to be published. And it was published in that year, the year 5568 in the Hebrew calendar. And from that point on, Rabbi Nachman spoke a lot about the very major importance of his shiurim in his sefer, and he stressed to his students to invest quality time in learning these shiurim. This is actually what we consider today the first half of Likutei Moran. In our Likutei Morans that are published today, you have Likutei Moran Chelek Rishon and you have Likutei Moran Tanina, the second half of Likutei Moran. The part that was published during Rabbi Nachman's lifetime was only the first, what we consider today, the first half of Likutei Moran, which is the first 286 chapters. Rabbi Nachman Zal pointed out that the fact that at this point, after this shiur on Rosh Hashanah, Rabbi Nachman gave the green light to go ahead and publish his shiurim, this is alluded to in what we just learned. The pasuk that he quoted, V'sefer Kosav Ish Rivi, that there's a sefer that's written, that's produced, as a result of machlokes. And Rabbi Nachman emphasized in the Torah we just learned that there are many sforim today, and there are going to be many more sforim, and all of them are very much needed by the world. And we need to believe in the importance of these sforim, and to study them, and to treat them with tremendous respect. And even those tzaddikim who have complete faith in Hashem, faith in the Torah, and faith in earlier tzaddikim, those tzaddikim also have to believe in themselves. They have to believe in their new teachings of Torah that they themselves produce, and to treat those with major respect, which means, again, to be willing to share them with the public. So now, Reb Nachman Shirin Zal says, from everything we've discussed so far regarding this, it seems to me that this Torah, chapter 61, was actually a form of a tzavah, a will, to his students who were close to him, as to exactly how he wanted things to be conducted after his passing, regarding his students' relationship with him. And Rabbi Nachman hinted in this chapter that the most important thing is emunas chachamim, faith in rabbis, faith in tzaddikim, real faith, and not to deviate to the right or to the left from what they tell us. And that through this emunas chachamim, we'll be zeiche to be able to come to true justice, a justice based on the Torah. When we learn Torah, we'll be able to extract from the Torah that we learn proper advice and guidance, exactly how to conduct ourselves personally, and in addition, how to advise our families or friends who are willing to accept our guidance. And we know that that's one of the most important reasons for coming close to tzaddikim, and why it's not enough just to look in Sfarim. As we know, this is a question that many people ask about the concept of coming close to tzaddikim. Why do I have to come close to a tzaddik? What's wrong if I just learn the sefer? And we know Rabbi Nachman addresses this in several places, in chapter 19 in Likutei Moran, and in our chapter, and in other places. Because of the fact that not every person is qualified to be able to extract a proper derech, proper clear direction in serving Hashem and in life from the Sforim that they learn. We know that the Gemara actually says that for a person to be able to draw the right conclusions, even in halacha, to be able to derive exactly what's the right thing to do, that requires siyata dishmaya, that requires special divine assistance. Not everybody that learns has that. We know Rabbeinu Zal gave us an example in our chapter that we just learned regarding Doeg HaDoimi, who was a great person. He was an Av Bezdin, a leader of Bezdin during the time of Shaul HaMelech, and yet he drew a crooked, mistaken conclusion from his learning. He came to the conclusion that Dovid HaMelech was not qualified to be accepted into the Jewish community, no less to be a king. And we know that the entire hope and salvation of the Jewish people is dependent on Dovid HaMelech and Moshiach. For those that joined us late, I want to mention that we're not reading from Likutei Moran right now. We're reading from a commentary on Likutei Moran. We completed chapter 61 in Likutei Moran last session, and we started the commentary, Parparois L'Chochma, which gives an extremely important, practical explanation of chapter 61 that we learned to teach us exactly how to apply those concepts today in Breslov. So Reb Nachman Shirin points out that for this reason, because of the fact that it's very prevalent for people who learn Torah to draw the wrong conclusions, therefore, it's extremely important for a person to try very hard, to make every effort, and to persist in coming close to true tzaddikim, so that they will show us the proper, clear direction for each and every person, based on that person's circumstances. And Rabbeinu Zal hinted to us in this chapter that by perfecting ourselves in emunas chachamim, in faith in rabbis, that will help us be able to derive proper conclusions from what we learn in Sforim. And in addition, the person is zoche to proper etza, to proper advice and guidance and counsel, for which a person really has to pray very hard and try very hard to find a truly qualified leader who can give the person Eitza Tova, real, good, healthy, sound advice. However, until the person feels positive that they succeeded in finding such a leader, as long as the person works on improving their emunas chachamim, their respect for rabbis, to the point where they show and feel true respect for all holy sforim that were composed by true tzaddikim, and they believe in them, and they study those sforim with sincerity, and they put aside all of their own ideas to be able to study and understand and accept the guidance of those holy sforim, and a person is careful not to deviate to the right or to the left from what they see in those sforim, that itself helps complete the light of the Torah, and it enables the Torah to be able to receive light from its source, which is called Chachma Ilah. We discussed this in chapter 61 in Likutei Moran, that the Torah receives its light from a much higher place called Chachma Ilah, the upper wisdom. And when the Torah receives that light properly, then it shines, that light comes down to all the Sichliim Protiim, to all the individual Seichels of every individual Sefer, and every individual Jew. And this results in sweetening and eliminating all harsh judgments and all constrictions. And this also enables us to be able to derive proper, sound knowledge and understanding from everything that we study in Torah, thereby improving our brains and our seichel, which leads to tikkun hamishpat, which leads to Shleimus HaEitzah by each and every person. In addition, Reb Nachman Shirin Zal points out that Rabbeinu Zal hinted to us the incredible damage that's caused by leaders who are not qualified to receive ordination, to receive smicha. And Rabbeinu Zal prophesied in this Torah with his Ruach HaKodesh what was going to happen in the future as a result of this, as a result of rabbis being appointed. Don't forget, during Rabbeinu Zal's time, that was when the Reform movement started spreading in Germany originally and started reaching out to other Jewish communities, where there were people who were being ordained and appointed as rabbis, so-called rabbis and Jewish leaders, who were very far from qualified, unfortunately. And Rabbeinu Zal prophesied in this Torah that this would cause the fact that the Jewish writings would lose their effectiveness, where the secular government and the world would not be willing to accept the justice that's defined in our writings, in the Torah, in the Halacha, but rather we would be forced to comply with their constitutions completely, with their laws, and we'd have to study their writings and their books, and in addition, that this would result in the Jewish people being evicted, thrown out from countries where they had established a presence for hundreds of years. And unfortunately, these decrees actually came into fruition. That was when the Cantonese decree came out. These decrees about the Jews being exiled and other things took place later than that. Reb Nachman Shirinzal writes that it took place in his time. Then he touches also on what Rabbeinu Zal said, that when there is this lack of proper emunas chachamim, we lose the knowledge of the soid hoibur, the deep understanding that the Torah gives a person of astronomy and astrology and how all the heavenly spheres function. And Reb Nachman Shirinzal points out that even though we don't necessarily know exactly what Rabbeinu Zal was referring to here, still, it would seem that part of this was the spreading of philosophy, which spread shortly after Rabbeinu Zal passed away, and unfortunately in many cases contradicted and undermined the study of Torah Shebal Peh, the Gemara, and the other holy books. So that unfortunately in many cases, those people, non-Jews and even Jews, who entered into the study of philosophy and science, ended up mocking the words of the Gemara, the Torah Shebal Peh, the Halacha. And the underlying cause for all of this is a lack of emunas chachamim among the Jewish people. And especially when it results in leaders who are not qualified being appointed and ordained to leadership positions. And Rabbeinu Zal explained also how careful we have to be not to have any role in this, not to chas v'shalom have any role in supporting any of these decisions to ordain rabbis who are not qualified and not to empower them in any way. We find that today, unfortunately, in Eretz Yisrael, this is a major battle that's going on whereby the Reform and Conservative, which until recent years maintained a certain very low profile in Eretz Yisrael, in the past 5 or 10 years or so, they're really pushing forward and exerting every kind of pressure possible on the government in Eretz Yisrael, on the American government, to try to exert all any influence that they have using their money and their power to force their way in to Jewish law here in Eretz Yisrael and to try to undermine the kosher execution of Hebrew law by the Israeli rabbinate or by other rabbinical organizations here in Eretz Yisrael. They're trying to chas v'shalom, implement civil marriages, civil divorce. They're trying to change the status quo in holy places like the Kotel Maravi, that men and women should be able to pray together, women should be able to wear talesim, etc. This is all part of this, where these people who are not qualified to represent Jewish leadership whatsoever and Jewish lawmaking, and they're the ones that, unfortunately, Rahman al-San, have set up their own schools and colleges, and the Satan gives them money and power, and they're trying to exert that power literally to tear apart the Jewish nation here in Eretz Yisrael. Rabbeinu Zal also hinted in this Torah that when we see machlokis, when we see divisiveness in Klal Yisrael, we have to use that as an excuse to strengthen ourselves in Emunas Chachomim, because in majority of cases where there is machlokis, usually it's trying to undermine our faith in the true leaders of Klal Yisrael. But a person has to avoid listening to that kind of ideology and know that when I see machlokis, that's a sign for me to strengthen myself in doing true tshuva and repairing any lack of emunas chachamim that I might have had till now. Rabbeinu Zal gave other examples that sometimes the machlokis is to repair a person's emunas chachamim. Sometimes it's in order to repair the emunas chachamim of the masses. It's in order that true Jewish leaders should try to teach and implement emunas chachamim among the masses of the Jews. And then Rabbeinu Zal added the additional point that sometimes it comes to force those people who are qualified to come up with new revelations in Torah to believe in and respect their own chidushei Torah, their own revelations in Torah. Now back to the topic of Rosh Hashanah. Rabbeinu Zal also hinted in this chapter the tremendous tikkun that's accomplished by traveling to Tzaddikim for Rosh Hashanah, by which all the souls of all those people that come to Tzaddikim for Rosh Hashanah plug into and become part of the Tzaddik, who is the Evan Shasia, who is compared to the foundation stone in the Beis HaMikdash. And this brings about a sweetening of all harsh judgments. And this generates simcha. Rabbeinu Zal quoted the pasuk, Oyer Tzaddikim Yismach. And the fact that Rabbeinu Zal mentioned what Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai Zal said to his students, that whereas my rabbi Rabbi Akiva unfortunately had to see 24,000 of his students pass away because of lack of proper love and mutual respect among them, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai Zal said to his students, Anan b'chavivus atalya, our success, the fact that we are permitted to document secrets of Torah and to make it available for later generations is dependent on the love and friendship and mutual respect that there is between us. And this sweetens and repairs any harsh judgments. We mentioned last week that Rabbeinu Zal promised his students that even after he passes away, if his students will stick together with unity and love, he will definitely complete, Rabbeinu Zal will definitely complete everything he started to do for us and bring all of us to a level of being really, really religious. Now, Rabbi Nachman Shirin adds that automatically we can understand that this, the topic that Rabbeinu Zal spoke about traveling to Tzaddikim for Rosh Hashanah, he was referring also and especially to his students coming to Uman, to him for Rosh Hashanah, to prostrate ourselves on his kever, to daven a lot of tachnunim, to plead to Hashem on every single erev of Rosh Hashanah, and then afterwards for on Rosh Hashanah itself, for all of his students to gather together and to pray together in the large shul with tremendous unity and joining together, this large group of students gathering together and joining together with tremendous love for each other, all united as one and with powerful attachment to all true tzaddikim, and especially to our rabbi, to Rabbeinu Zal. That feeling exists throughout the entire year regarding the service of Hashem that each person does in their own home, in their own place. But especially, especially at the special time when we get together on Erev Rosh Hashanah and on Rosh Hashanah to pour out our hearts to Hashem at Rabbi Nachman's Kever, and then joining together on Rosh Hashanah itself to daven with tremendous unity and with deep attachment to all tzaddikim, as Rabbeinu Zal touches on this in chapter 55 in Likutei Moran, and especially binding ourselves to our rabbi, to Rabbeinu Zal. And now Reb Nachman Shirin points out something very, very interesting. He says, you can actually see this. He's talking for himself, that the gathering that takes place on Rosh Hashanah in Uman, this is really the time of the year when all of Rabbi Nachman's followers come together and when the unity among all of them is most obvious, manifests itself most. People gathering from different countries, different cities, different types of people, all coming together. And Rabbi Nachman Shirin writes that it's only at that time especially that all of us are fulfilling Rabbi Nachman's will, which is for all of us to unite together with Ahava and Achdus. And it's only through this, this is really the main event of the year that ensures the continuity of Rabbi Nachman's teachings and of his whole ideology. As he himself promised, Rabbeinu Zal said that his teachings, his heritage, his tradition will not stop, but rather it'll continue until Mashiach comes. And Rabbi Nachman Shirin says now that we see in actuality that now it's more than 60 years after Rabbeinu Zal passed away. This is Rabbi Nachman Shirin writing, and the strong fire of faith in tzaddikim and in Rabbeinu Zal's holy books and in all true tzaddikim is burning strongly inside all of his followers, all of his students. And all of them strive to be involved in learning the Sforim, in publicizing the Sforim, and in bringing people close to Hashem, and building his buildings, his shuls, his yeshivas, and being involved in all of the things that relate to Rabbeinu Zal, each one to the best that they possibly can. And he says that today already, there are many Breslovers who didn't know and never saw any of Rabbi Nachman's own Talmidim. And yet still, the fire of Rabbi Nachman burns powerfully inside of them, all of his teachings, and they drink his words with thirst, his words and the words of his students. The teachings serve mamish as refreshing waters on an exhausted soul, and they serve Hashem really in the highest levels with tremendous devotion, all through the power, through the holiness of the Das of Rabbeinu Zal, which has remained in the world through his Sforim, through his writings, and through his students. But again, the main foundation that ensures for generations that this continues is the gathering together of all of Rabbi Nachman's students for Rosh Hashanah. And as we explained earlier, he says, Rabbeinu Zal wanted this to continue after his passing, that his students should be very united and bound together. And here in this chapter, he explains that unity among the students is what brings about the sweetening of all harsh judgments. So therefore, especially if we're talking about Rosh Hashanah, which is the judgment day of the entire year, that most definitely is the most important time for all the students to gather together and join together as one. He says this is why we find in Klal Yisrael, even in hundreds of years before this, that the people would gather together for the Yomim Noiroim, for Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, from villages and small towns. They would leave their villages and small towns to come to join together with the large congregations of Jews in the large synagogues. But as far as us, Rabbi Nachman Shirin Zal points out, when we do gather together for Rosh Hashanah, we rely especially on the power and the merit of the great tzaddik, who is the Evan Shesia, who is the foundation stone. And we daven to Hashem that Hashem should sweeten and eliminate all harsh judgments, all constrictions from us and from all of Klal Yisrael. And Hashem should bring forth the true justice for the Jewish people. Now, Rabbi Nachman Shirin Zal makes a very important point, because there is a very small minority of people that say that how do we really know that Rabbeinu Zal wanted his students to get together to go to his gravesite when he was physically living, we understand. But to go to gather together at Rosh Hashanah at his grave and to daven on Rosh Hashanah specifically in close proximity to where the grave is, who says? So Rabbi Nachman Shirin mentions one of the clear proofs to this that we find in chapter 211, Reish Yud Aleph. Rabbeinu Zal says that the reason why we go to tzaddikim for Rosh Hashanah is because the main sweetening of harsh judgments is accomplished through purity of thought. And Rabbeinu Zal says there that in order to achieve pure thoughts, it requires binding ourselves to tzaddikim. What's the proof for this? Rabbeinu Zal quotes the Zohar HaKadosh, which says that Moshe Rabbeinu, when he was leaving Mitzrayim, Vayikach Moshe es atzmois Yosef imoi. Moshe Rabbeinu took the bones of Yosef HaTzadik with him. And Rabbeinu Zal says there that Moshe Rabbeinu, who represents the Moach, the brain of the Jewish people, Moshe Rabbeinu represents Das and Chochmah and Sechel, Moshe Rabbeinu attached himself to the Tzaddik. But note, we're talking about a Tzaddik who already passed away. We're talking about Atzmos Yosef, the coffin of Yosef HaTzaddik. So here Rabbeinu Zal made it perfectly clear that his intention for his students to gather together with him, that he wanted that to continue after his passing, to take place on Erev Rosh Hashanah by his gravesite, and then for Rosh Hashanah to be able to daven together close by. Because again, the bones of Yosef HaTzadik represent the kever, the grave of the Tzadik. This also explains in Sota, page 13, the Gemara says that when the Jews were traveling in the desert, there were two boxes that traveled side by side. One was the Oroin that had the Luchos in it, the tablets in it, and the second one was the Oroin of the coffin of Yosef HaTzadik. And the Jews would say, Kiem zeh mashikosu bozeh, that the one in this box, Yosef HaTzadik, fulfilled everything that's written in the other box, in the Luchos. Showing again the union between these two, that the Luchos, the tablets, which in the Beis HaMikdash were right near the Evan Shesia, the foundation stone, and when the Jews traveled in the desert, they were one, they were united together with the coffin of the Tzaddik, with the coffin of Yosef HaTzaddik. We find also, he says, Reb Nachman Shirin points out, that in the Medrash Tanchuma of Parshas Vo'era, and also in Medrash Rabbah, it mentions the story that the Gemara tells us, that when Shlomo HaMelech completed the building of the Beis HaMikdash, he was not able to bring the Aron in. The doors were locked and would not open for him, would not allow the Aron with the Luchos to be able to be brought into the Beis HaMikdash until Shlomo HaMelech brought the coffin of David HaMelech, again showing the direct connection between the Holy of Holies, the Kodesh HaKadoshim, which housed the Aron, the box that had the Luchos in it, and the coffin of the Tzaddik, the coffin of David HaMelech. Because as Rabbeinu Zal explained in this chapter, the true Tzaddik is the Evan Shesia. He represents this foundation stone of the Jewish people and of the world. Any questions now at this point based on what we've said so far? Good, we'll continue. Now Reb Nachman Shirin says, let's go into this a little bit deeper and a little bit in a delicate manner. It's known that the place where a tzaddik is buried has the holiness of Eretz Yisrael. Rabbeinu Zal mentions this in Likut Imran regarding the kever of the Baal Shem Tov, which he used to visit often. And Rabbeinu Zal quotes the pasuk Tzadikim Yirshu Eretz. Tzadikim inherit the land. And Rabbeinu Zal said this means that the place where the tzaddik is buried has the holiness of Eretz Yisrael. Now, Reb Nachman Shirin points out, we know that regarding the holiness of Eretz Yisrael, it's not all one. There are 10 levels of holiness inside of Eretz Yisrael. And the purest, highest level of holiness emanates from the Holy of Holies, the Kodshei Kodoshim, which had the Evan Shesia in it. And that's where the Aroin and the Luchos were. And that's where this light of Chochmah Iloh shines. And it's from there that the holiness of the entire Eretz Yisrael emanates. And it's based on that the Gemara made the statement, Avira d'Eretz Yisrael Machkim, the air of Eretz Yisrael gives Chochmah, gives knowledge. Again, all originating from the Holy of Holies in the Beis HaMikdash. Now we know also that among tzaddikim, there are many different levels. And therefore, Reb Nachman Shirin says, it's possible to say that the place, the burial place of the true tzaddik, who is the holiest of the tzaddikim, that his burial place doesn't just represent Eretz Yisrael, but it represents the holiness of the Evan Shesia itself. And this will explain, interestingly, he says, why some of the older Breslovers used to say that we know Rabbeinu Zal passed away on the fourth day of Sukkot. We know that Rabbeinu Zal, before he passed away, he was sitting on his bed very weak, and he was holding the lulav and the esrog in his hands, and he recited the tefillah of Hoshanas of that day. Those who live in Chutz Laretz, on the fourth day of Sukkot, they say the Hoshanas that begins with Evan Shesia. We know that there's a paragraph for each one of the 6 days that we recite Hoshanas, and it goes in the order of the Aleph Beis. The paragraph for the fourth day of Sukkot begins with Evan Shesia. And again, that was the day that Rabbeinu Zal passed away. And Reb Nachman Shirin Zal says he doesn't want to go into this deeper, but again, each person can understand the conclusions to be drawn from this. And now he says, we already discussed previously how on the final Erev Rosh Hashanah in Uman, which was days before Rabbeinu Zal passed away, he spoke about the tremendous chiyuv, how mandatory it is to come to him for Rosh Hashanah. And he said there's nothing greater than that. And he stressed this tremendously. And when he passed away shortly afterwards on Sukkot, everyone understood that the discussion about coming to him for Rosh Hashanah and all of those warnings applied also after his passing, for everyone to gather together for Rosh Hashanah. And by doing that, there would be tremendous tikkunim that would be accomplished. Now, the fact that Rabbeinu Zal didn't say this specifically, the fact that he didn't use those words, say the words including after my passing, Reb Nachman Shirin Zal writes that obviously he had his own reasons for that. And we know in other areas also that Rabbeinu Zal was very careful sometimes not to spell certain things out clearly if he felt it wasn't the right thing to do it. He would hint to it, he would express it, but he would still leave room for people to make the right choice on their own. Now he continues to say, based on what he touched on before, that this chapter is like a tzavo, like a will of Rabbeinu Zal, emphasizing the importance of all of us studying his sforim and the sforim of all the true tzaddikim, and to respect those sforim and to believe in them and not to deviate at all whatsoever from what we see there. Okay, now he adds an additional point that he said that Rabbeinu Zal promised that not just his own students who would maintain this kesher with him, but even those who would attach themselves to his students would also definitely become truly religious people. Now, Reb Nachman Shirin Zal adds that in the second paragraph in this Torah, where Rabbeinu Zal speaks about the hands that are used in ordaining a Talmud Chacham and giving smicha, and the hands that write sforim, and that through smicha, by ordaining proper rabbis who are really qualified, this brings our writings to light. And Rabbeinu Zal quoted Yehoshua ben Nun, who was Molei Ruach Chochma because Moshe Rabbeinu had placed his hands on him. Reb Nachman Shirin writes that it seems that in these words, Rabbeinu Zal was actually giving smicha to his student Rav Nosson Zal, as was hinted to earlier in chapter 6 in Likutei Moran, where Rabbeinu Zal said that wherever a rabbi and student, proper student, get together, it's the concept of the sun and the moon. That's one place where he discusses this. And also in chapter 7, in the second half of Likutei Moran, where he speaks about Yehoshua ben Nun again being Molei Ruach Chochma. And Reb Nachman Shirin points out that some of Rabbi Nachman's students understood that in this shir, he was actually ordaining Rav Nosson Zal, especially based on what he had said to Rav Nosson Zal once before, that even if you have emuna, you don't have enough emuna in yourself. So Rabbeinu Zal was implying that this student specifically had to have tremendous faith in himself and in his chidushim, in his writings, in the Likutei Halachos, and therefore he certainly was qualified for smicha because of the fact that his emunas chachamim in his rabbi and in other tzaddikim was so strong. And Rav Nachman Shirin points out that in the writings of Rav Nosson Zal, which are the Likutei Halachos, which he started composing during Rabbeinu Zal's lifetime, and with Rabbeinu Zal's clear instruction, Rabbeinu Zal told him that he wants him to study his teachings and use them to see the chassidus and the avodas Hashem in the Shulchan Aruch. And those that study Likutei Halachos can see clearly that what it's really all about is a person being able to draw clear, practical advice and guidance from the Chumash, from the Gemara, from the Halacha, to know exactly how do I apply this to me today in my Avodas Hashem. Even those laws which on the surface don't seem to apply to us, laws of Kilayim, laws of Bechor Behema, certain laws of Choshen Mishpat, which a person would say about appointing an agent for transactions, different things that... And Rav Nosson Zal was able to study those portions of Torah and be able to derive from it practical advice and guidance that each and every one of us could use in our own general way of life. So Rav Nachman Shimon Zal writes that a chacham like this, a chacham that was able to produce a Likutei Halachos, which is the ultimate book of giving clear, practical advice and guidance to Klal Yisrael from every portion of the Torah, he certainly is most qualified for this smicha. In addition, we know that he was actually the one who wrote down most of Rabbeinu Zal's teachings. Some of what we have is Rabbeinu Zal's own actual writings, but the majority of Likutei Moran, of Sipurei Maaseiyos, of Rabbeinu Zal's Sforim, is all based on Rav Nosson Zal writing. So it's the Yedei HaKsiva and the Yedei HaSmicha that Rabbeinu Zal taught in this Torah coming together. Rav Nachman Shirin Zal writes that we've seen the outstanding level of leadership that Rav Nosson Zal showed after Rabbeinu Zal's passing away, how many people, how many Jews he was able to inspire and motivate, and that whatever we have today of Rabbeinu Zal is mostly what we receive from Rav Nosson Zal. Now, Rav Nachman Shirin says something very, very delicate. And he says, however, Rabbeinu Zal did not spell this out clearly. He didn't tell his students in any clear, direct way that the one to take over after me would be Rav Nosson Zal. And again, because of reasons that Rabbeinu Zal understood. However, Rav Nachman Shirin says that we understand that after Rabbeinu Zal's passing, there still is a concept of a Manhig HaKoilel in Breslov, which is Rav Nosson Zal. Now he adds, however, it's understandable that some of the older students of Rabbeinu Zal, who came to Rabbeinu Zal before Rav Nosson Zal, for them it was certainly difficult for them to accept Rav Nosson Zal as a leader, as their rabbi, as their leader. Just as it says by Yehoshua in the case of Moshe Rabbeinu, the Gemara says, Zekenim Shebedoyer Amru, the elders of the generation said, Pnei Moshe kepnei Chama, Pnei Yeshua kepnei Levona, that Moshe Rabbeinu's face shone like the sun. Yehoshua is like the moon. Meaning again that they being older than Yehoshua, and some of them who knew Moshe Rabbeinu even before Yehoshua, found it difficult to be able to accept Yehoshua's leadership and authority over them. Especially in our case, since Rabbeinu Zal did not spell it out clearly. Rabbeinu Zal did not say that this person will take over or that he's the leader. And Rav Nachman Shirin points out that for Rav Nosson Zal himself, it was difficult for him to accept a leadership position and to show any kind of authority over the older students of Rabbeinu Zal. However, for the younger students, for the Bnei Hanu'urim, the youths, who wanted to come close to Hashem, to them, Rav Nosson Zal was a fabulous teacher and rabbi and shepherd and a true leader. And now Rav Nachman Shirin Zal points out that with this we'll understand something extraordinary, that Rav Nosson Zal himself, we know that he passed away on Asara B'Teves in the year Tof Reish Hei, 5605. And shortly before his passing, the last halacha that he was writing was Hilchas Rosh Chodesh, Halacha Zayin. Now, Rosh Chodesh, we know, highlights the moon, speaks about the birthday of the moon. And in that halacha, Rav Nosson Zal spoke a lot about Torah Samach Aleph, this Torah that we just learned now, about the Yedei Asmicha and the Yedei Aksiva, and that after his passing, we need to use this chapter of Likutei Moran, specifically chapter 61, Chodi Rabbi Shimon, and to fulfill everything that's written there. That was the thing that Rav Nosson Zal emphasized right before his passing. Now Rav Nachman Shirin Zal adds that we'll understand an additional thing, that on the day of Rav Nosson Zal's passing, which was Friday, Erev Shabbos, Asara B'Teves, early in the morning, some of his students were standing by him, and Rav Nosson Zal asked them, what were the three tragedies that occurred in the month of Teves? And then Rav Nosson Zal himself started listing them. He said the first one is that Nebuchadnezzar Melech Bovel laid siege on Yerushalayim. And the second one is the passing away of Ezra HaSofer, the great scribe of the Jewish people. And the third one is the fact that the king forced the Jewish rabbis to translate the Torah into Greek. And Rav Nosson Zal said that these three are really one. They're really very much connected to each other, as he discusses in another place in Likutei Halachos, in Hilchas Tainus Halacha Dalet, because we know that Ezra HaSofer is the one who wrote Sifrei Torah, and he was the one who was the authority, who knew how to write Sifrei Torah with the original holiness and accuracy. And when he passed away, that resulted in a major weakening of the ksav, of the writings of the Jewish people. And again, it empowered the writings of the Goyim to the point where our Torah ended up being written in their language, in the Greek language. And then Rabbeinu Zal said it also resulted in the Jewish people being exiled from their place. Again, the beginning of that was Nebuchadnezzar laying siege on Yerushalayim. That as a result of the Pigam and Emunas Chachamim, the Torah is not complete, and we can't affect the Amtokas, the real sweetening of the judgments. So that this is the concept of Ezra Sofer passing away, our writings becoming weakened and given over to them, and in addition, the Jewish people being evicted from our land, because the beginning of the Churban Beis Hamikdash and the exile of the Jewish people started on Asara B'Teves. And Rav Nosson Zal elaborated on this then, on that day that he passed away, that he said that nowadays also there are tzaddikim who are involved in writing holy sforim that are built on the foundation of our Torah and Emunas Chachamim, and those holy sforim help complete the Torah and enable the Torah to receive a flow of light from Chochma Ilah, from the Evan Shesia, and spread that light to all the different Chochmas, which leads to Hamtoka Sadinim, and those tzaddikim are like Ezra HaSofer, who wrote Sifrei Torah with tremendous holiness. And when these tzaddikim pass away, then we see a tremendous expansion of Chochmos Chitzonius, secular wisdoms, philosophy, which are the opposite of Emunas Chachamim. And they are the type of people who mock the words of the rabbis and try to turn people away from faith in Torah Shebaal Peh. And this is why we find that in the Gemara, when the Gemara speaks about studying wisdoms that contradict the Torah, the Gemara refers to it as Chochma Yevonis. That's the terminology that's used, Chochmas Yevon. And here we see that it was on that day when Ezra Sofer passed away, that's when the Torah was given over to this language of the Greeks. So now Rav Nosson Zal made the following statement. As Ezra HaSofer vert nistalek, if Ezra HaSofer passes away, zenin zech misgaber Kol minei treif posel, all kinds of terrible things become stronger. And he elaborated on this, that unfortunately, when this type of person passes away, there's a tremendous spreading of apikursis. But again, the foundation of all of it is this pigam in emunas chachomim. However, Rav Nosson Zal concluded, but after all of this, the pasuk says, V'ato moroim lo'olam Hashem. You, Hashem, always come out on top. You always win in the end. And Rav Nosson Zal said, one page of these holy writings, which are written by the true tzaddikim, who had real emunas chachamim, will counter and stand up against all the evil books and teachings of those who mock the rabbis. And therefore, he stressed to his students then that for the sake of Hashem, please do everything you possibly can to publish these holy books, the Sforim of Rabbeinu Zal and Rav Nosson Zal Sforim, because at that point in time, his own writings had not been published yet. Only the first volume of Or HaChaim had been published during Rav Nosson Zal's lifetime. And Rav Nosson Zal stressed publishing these writings and publicizing them, spreading them to all the Jewish people, so that the truly religious people will be able to get the encouragement that they need to stand strong in their faith in Hashem and faith in Tzaddikim. Now, when Rav Nosson Zal was saying this, they didn't fully understand. They didn't know that he was going to pass away several hours later. Once they saw that, they understood exactly what he was referring to. And sure enough, right after Rav Nosson Zal passed away, the Russian Tsar instituted laws that the Jewish students must study Russian, the language, and the literature in their schools, and they imposed special taxes on the Jews to pay for lighting candles on Shabbos, which Rav Nosson Zal also had touched on before he passed away. But Rav Nachman Sharin Zal concludes, however, our consolation is the fact that we see the opening words were fulfilled. We know that all of his words will be fulfilled, that these holy Sforim that are built on real Emunas Tzaddikim, especially the Sforim of Rabbeinu Zal and Rav Nosson Zal, they will stand strong to help Klal Yisrael and to help us be able to withstand all the negative influences and all the challenges that come from philosophers and those that Chas V'Shalom speak against the Torah Shebaal Peh. This pretty much concludes this piece. Any questions before we close?
These holy writings that were burnt or hidden away, that they were to counteract the apikorsut that was to increase in the world over generations. Is that after that we're not necessarily increasing the writings and the wisdom in the world of these true tzaddikim and Rabbi Nachman and Rabbi Natan?
It seems that both of these are necessary. Rabbeinu Zal speaks about both of these. Rabbeinu Zal says in a chapter on Likutei Moran that there are thousands of Sforim that were written by Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, and all the tzaddikim of all the generations that we don't have today. And he says that many of those Sforim had to go lost in order so that many Sforim of the philosophers in them would also go lost, in order to maintain a certain balance without which the Jewish people would not have survived, would not have existed. So that's one channel, that's one program. There's an additional program of spreading the Sforim of the true tzaddikim. It seems that both of these have to take place. There were certain rare tzaddikim. Rabbeinu Zal required that two Sforim of his, one Sefer, be hidden, one Sefer was burned. That's a pretty rare item. For the most part, in general, we today follow what we're learning here now, that it's our mission to try as much as we can to spread the Sforim of the Holy Tzaddikim. But that definitely does have a place.
Thank you. Somebody asked, how do you explain the connection between a tzaddik being nifter and emunas chachamim?
The answer is that when we say we believe in tzaddikim, we believe in tzaddikim that are alive, and we believe in the tzaddikim, we believe in the merit of Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, we believe in the rabbis of the Gemara, who are all physically not living, we study their words, and we believe in their holiness. The Gemara makes a point of saying that just like by Shimshon HaGibor, he brought much greater success to Klal Yisrael in passing than during his lifetime. The Gemara says, so too, in general, tzaddikim are greater after their passing than during their lifetime. They're able to be more effective for Klal Yisrael. This is a very important theme that appears many places in the Gemara, in the Torah, throughout.
Thank you.
Next Sunday, Emet Hashem, I hope to be in Uman. Rosh Chodesh Nisan is on Shabbos. In recent years, there's been a large group that goes to Uman for Rosh Chodesh Nisan. I hope to be there from Thursday afternoon till Monday evening. If at all possible, I will try to give the shiur from Uman, Emet Hashem. Chodesh Tov to everybody and a good week. All the best.